The question was asked, how do we choose a rabbi? So this is a question that people ask all the time. And it's a question that I posed to Rav Shlomo Fisher. And I don't remember exactly what he said, but parts of what I'm going to say I heard from him. Let's deal with the basic question, and then we'll try to get to a little bit of the specifics, even though we won't cover everything. The first question we have to ask ourselves is, if you're choosing a Rav, so who do we classify as a Rav? Who enters that category? And when a person doesn't know much, so when a person's starting out, he has to go by what he hears. And one way is seeing who the average people consider to be an accepted Rav, or a person can go to someone who he feels it's clear that he is a Rav and ask him to help him find a Rav. Meaning, let's say you say, I don't know who I could trust other than Rabbi X. So we say, okay, so Rabbi X will probably not have enough time to deal with all your questions and get to know you and answer you specifically. So what you could ask Rabbi X is to give you a list of who to choose from. For example, when Rav Halberstam Zatzal is still around, so I asked him most of my questions. There were times that I couldn't access him. There were questions that I couldn't bring to him. Sometimes he wasn't available. He was answering hundreds of people a day. So I asked him for a list of who else I could ask. Who else would he recommend that I ask? And he gave me a list. And to this day, thank God, unfortunately he passed away, but thank God, I have that list. I have names of rabbis that he told me I can rely on in certain areas.
In Brooklyn or in Israel?
Oh, here, Rav Halberstam from the Eidah Haredes. So, when a person has to decide who he's going to choose from, a person looks around and sees who is accepted by the Jewish people, and if he feels that he doesn't know who is accepted, then he should find a Rav that he knows for sure is accepted and ask him. I once had a guy who told me, I don't know about anyone but Rav Eliashiv. So I said, fine. So go to Rav Eliashiv and ask him for a list. That you could get in to ask him that question. You could get into Rav Eliashiv for a two-minute question, and that question doesn't take more than 2 minutes. If you feel like there's no one else you could trust but him, fine. So ask him. So that's question number one. That's one of the basic questions that people have. Ideally, when one chooses a Rav, one should try to choose a Rav that one feels is God-fearing. One should try to choose a Rav that one feels has good traits, good qualities, not just knows a lot of Torah that's given, but also has good midos, that you feel is a good person. The Gemara and the Halacha says that if a person sees someone who he feels that person doesn't have good traits, so we can't judge other people and decide whether they are or are not good people, but we do have to decide who we're going to learn Torah from. And in that decision, we are supposed to look at a person's traits. We're supposed to look and see if we see that that person seems to us like he doesn't have good traits, then we should not learn Torah from that person. That shouldn't be our Rav. We don't have to tell other people anything about him. We're forbidden from telling other people about him. Maybe we don't understand what he's doing, but that doesn't mean that we could take him as our Rav. It just means that we don't know, but as far as we understand, he shouldn't be our Rav. Ideally, one should find a Rav who one can be close to. Ideally, one should find a Rav that can know the person, and you could know that Rav. And hopefully, that would be a person who could answer your questions. And sometimes there's a Rav who you feel very close to, but he doesn't know the answer to most of your questions. So then you have to find someone else who does. And maybe that Rav could help you find someone else. But the person who's answering most of your questions should be someone who is authorized to do so. Not any person that just learned can answer all the questions. And just because a person's giving you an answer doesn't mean that he really knows enough to give you the answer. There are people who are willing to answer even though they're not really authorized and shouldn't be authorized to answer. person who's been learning for 3 years, I have a lot of respect and admiration for him, but he's not yet fit to answer questions. I don't care what kind of genius he is. A person has to learn, and a person has to learn also by older rabbis. And then when a person knows enough, then hopefully he can answer questions. But you have to feel that this is a person who will know you and answer your questions, or at least answer your questions. Ideally, you should find someone who will also get to know you. Because most questions do have a personal factor, where knowing you and knowing where you're coming from, where you're headed, and where you're holding now, will affect the answers that are given. And that's why it is very important to try and find someone who knows you. Once a person is married, then one should have a rav who the wife feels comfortable with as well. That's very, very, very important. You both have to feel comfortable with the rav, because many of the halachas that you're asking pertain to her more than they do to you. She has to feel comfortable that he's the one calling the shots for you. When it comes to whether the rav should be from this crowd or that crowd, it's a sad state that today one has to ask such a question. In the ideal sense, one should choose a rav who he feels is a big tam chacham and who will guide him. And when we say we'll guide him, then he should also guide the person as to which crowd he should be with. Ideally, one should be looking for a rav who is truthful and knows the Torah. And if one has found such, then one should be asking his rav where he should be going. When one comes to ask a question, one shouldn't be coming and saying, well, this is a given, and this is a given, and now that I've said X, Y, and Z, I want your answer about this one thing. Ideally, one is supposed to come and ask. When one's coming to ask, then he lays all his questions on the table, and he waits to hear what answer he's going to get. I think that it's important to feel comfortable with the rav. It's not critical, but it helps. And to feel comfortable doesn't mean that you feel like he's your friend. There were many times that Rav Halberstam would kick me out of his office. Yeah. Tell me, Gai gesund rei. Zugen Amen. He'd say, go and be well. Now say Amen. He'd say, didn't I tell you to go and be well? And he'd kick me out. It wasn't comfortable to get kicked out of his office. Sometimes I'd ask him questions and he'd say, go, I'm not answering you. Go, get out of here. But that was also a sign that he felt comfortable with me and I felt comfortable with him. And he was willing to joke with me that way. That doesn't mean it was comfortable to hear from him, get out of here. Okay. Part of a rav's job is sometimes to tell us things that we don't want to hear. If you really have a rav, that he's your rav, he's going to tell you things you don't want to hear.
This is also an answer.
What do you mean?
This way is also to give an answer.
Sometimes it's a way to give an answer, and sometimes it's a way not to give an answer. The rav's job is sometimes to distance the student and sometimes to bring him close. It's part of a rav's job. That's why in the halachos of tshuva, it says that you ask a person forgiveness 3 times, but if he's your rebbe, you ask him unlimited amount of times. Because it could be that part of what he's doing is to train you, and that's why even after you've asked him forgiveness 3 times, he hasn't yet forgiven you, you have to keep asking for forgiveness. Because that could be part of what he's teaching you. That's why the halacha says, you can see it in the Rambam and Hilchos Teshuva, that any other person you ask once, you try again, you try a third time, as the halacha describes all the details, after 3 times you say, okay, I did my best, what can I do? But with your Rebbe, you can't do that. You have to keep trying. Why? Because his job is sometimes to be tougher, sometimes to be nicer. And you should know that not always does the Rav mean to be tough when you understand him to be tough. Give them the benefit of the doubt a little bit. And I've sometimes hurt people very badly with good outcome, but I didn't mean it. There was a guy here who once...
You didn't mean it with good outcome or mean it...
No, I didn't even mean to hurt him. A guy once came to me with all kinds of questions, and I told him, look, sir, in all honesty, you're asking me details about intricacies in these laws. There are basic laws that you're not yet keeping. So I respect your curiosity in learning Torah, but honestly, let's learn the basics. Do you know how to keep Shabbos yet? Let's learn basics before you deal with me on intricacies. And he was very offended by what I told him. But he came to me a long time later and he told me, I went home and I cried and I was so insulted that you told me, you kept refusing to answer my questions about details. But I said, okay, if that's what he says, so I'll do it his way and then he'll answer me the question. And today he told me, a long time later, he said, today I realized that you were right, but you should know you hurt me a lot. I didn't mean to hurt him. I was talking to him logically. I said, logically, what's the sense in dealing with intricacies in a specific law when Aleph Beis you haven't yet learned? Let's learn Aleph Beis. And I was speaking seriously. I meant, I'll learn with you Aleph Beis. I didn't mean to hurt his feelings, but at the end of the day, I did. What can I do? I was talking to him straight. So you have to know that sometimes, even if it hurts you to hear something, it doesn't mean that someone said something with the intent to hurt you. You have to, if you take someone to be your Rebbe, you have to also give them the benefit of the doubt a little bit. We don't always understand how the other person understands what we say. I didn't mean to tell him something bad. I meant to tell him logic. And this can happen many times, especially in such a relationship. What you also have to know is that part of a Selach HaRav is that once you've chosen a Rav, there's a certain amount of respect that you have to give him for your sake, not for his sake. It's not going to work a relationship where he's your best friend. It could be a person you respect a lot and you like a lot, but he's not your best friend. There's an aspect that when a person takes a Rav, he has to hold him as his Rav, not his friend. And in order for that relationship to be as productive as it should be, that's the way the relationship has to be. One of the reasons that I tell guys to find someone else, and I don't like being people's Rav, one of the reasons is because I think that I'm a lot of people's friends. And I don't mind being their friend. But it's very difficult, almost impossible, to have a productive relationship as a Rav and a student if we're going to be friends. They're not the same thing. And being that I like being people's friend, and there are other people out there who could be your Rav, so I choose to run the classes and run a lot of things as friends, and that's one of the reasons why I think it's to your benefits to find someone else. I'm willing to try and answer questions if you pose them, but it's important to have a Rav who isn't your friend, who, if he yells at you, then you understand that it's someone like a parent who has yelled at you. That's not the relationship we had. It isn't. No one here would accept it if I yelled at them. I don't think so. And that's fine. That's the way the relationship has developed. And I'm not complaining. I've also developed it that way. But that's not a relationship. That's not the way a relationship should be with a Rav. With a Rav, it's a certain relationship of respect and awe and fear. And all those elements should be there. But that's after you've chosen. You don't choose a person because, oh, I'm scared of him. You choose a person because of the other things we said. Then, as part of the relationship, you have to balance that also. Yeah, did we cover what you wanted?
Almost.
Okay, what's left?
There are certain rules which person we call a Rav.
Today the rule is that anyone that gives a class is called a Rav, and give people more respect than less respect.
My question was not complete.
Oh, sorry.
And not only how we call a Rav, who has the position as a Rav.
No. Person, if he knows Torah and he's learned enough, then whether he has smicha or doesn't have smicha is not critical.
No.
The smicha is not what makes him a Rav. Just because a person has smicha doesn't mean he's fit to answer all your questions. Surprise, surprise.
And if
a person doesn't have smicha, he still might be fit to answer your questions. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of big rabbis who, afterwards, as a means of doing something, Chav Chaim didn't have smicha. I don't know.
He was a Rosh Yeshiva without smicha. He wrote smicha for Hashem.
Oh, yeah.
On Saturday, big conference. He was supposed to talk. He was supposed to be the big. They asked what the gate for his smicha. He was not around. Hey. So the Talmidim was around him. All his Talmidim were there. He go, hold on a sec. We give you word now. We heard nature. They're living all
time. Yes, tell me to grow raps. Raps.
To give them the
It's not. That's not what makes it or breaks it. The fact that someone has smicha doesn't mean you can ask him questions necessarily. Mm-hmm. Although it should, but practically it doesn't necessarily mean that. No, and the fact that he doesn't have it doesn't mean that you can't ask him questions.
I don't understand how that works. I mean,
he also didn't want to.
Who says
be a Rav?
Who is a Rav? Nobody can say from himself he's a Rav.
Yeah.
As a person knows, once a person learns. So the Gemara says Torah machrezet al ba'aleh. When a person learns, then the Torah announces already who knows and who doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the Netziv used to sit in the back corner of a Beis Medrash. No one knew who he was. And then he became the Rashiva of Elijah. They discovered him. A person is supposed to learn, and when he learns, then people get a sense of if a person does know or does not know, slowly. That's not our job. We're looking for people who we know for sure are qualified to answer our questions. Okay, we cover it. Yeah.
Well, only a practical question.
Yeah.
What I have to do when I would like to start to search, or where I have to ask?
Ask people who you feel could help you out. I don't know who you feel comfortable with. You could ask Rav Listman. You could ask Rav Goldenberg. You could ask a lot of people. There are a lot of people that will be happy to help you.
Mm-hmm.
When a person. The question is, if you can't find a Rav in the Machon who you could feel comfortable with, ideally, when a person is in the Machon, the ideal is if he could find a Rav here, because that's the best. And you could learn from the person Gemara, Halacha, and hopefully you could also ask him your questions. That's the ideal.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if we're talking about ideal is also someone that you're going to respect a lot. Respect a lot means a lot. I don't know if people are accustomed to the form of respect that they should really have.
It's for sure problematic.
It's a problem in our generation in general, but if the relationship is, if you're going to get the most out of the relationship, then that's the way the relationship should be. Again, we're talking about ideal. Obviously, some of these things you're probably going to have to forego. But if we're going to say what's most important, so... Number one, most important, is that it's a person that really knows Torah and Halacha, is God-fearing, and has good traits. And number two, I think what's most important for you guys is that you feel comfortable with the person and he's accessible. Say that two and three. Those are the top three. The others, I'd say, are in the ideal sense. But the most important three points, I think, are that he really knows. That's Talmud Chacham, who's God-fearing and has good traits, that you feel like you can talk to him, you understand one another, he will get to know you, he's accessible. You could contact him.
I'm not sure if it's for me clear to search somebody. I don't know how long it's going to be.
Okay, so wherever you'll be, once you know where you're going to land, then... But today also, a person can contact the Rav by phone.
Would it depend, like a Rav, to change rabbis? Rabbi? Or to have two rabbis?
So, that I'd like to do as a separate one. Okay.